Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. In the name of the Father, Jesus Christ, for God so loved us. He's that Father. And I appreciated that song, and a very familiar song. Well, what does a man preach on a Father's Day? You know, there's something that happens when you're studying for messages that you open Scripture up and you, in a Father's Day message, you start looking. What does the Bible say for fathers? And you find out that you are looking at a mirror, that you see yourself and you see so many faults. And so maybe this message might be a little easier if my family would just walk out. And I hope that in giving this message, that it's not one that I trip over my own toes, so to speak, because I'm stepping on them so much. But you know, you and I all have a father, whether they're living or not. That's different for different people. And for the next generation to come on, there needs to be a father. I found it interesting. Woodrow Wilson signed the first for Mother's Day, and he made that a national holiday. That happened in May 9 of 1914 that he signed that. 1910 is about when I found statistics of where they would have said that the first Father's Day service in memory of a father was a special service pulled together. That happened down in West Virginia, I believe. There was a mine accident, and July 5 was the date for that. And, of course, the July 4 festivities had taken a lot of people away, but there's 300, well, they didn't keep good track at that time, but they were at least 350 people passed away in that mine accident. Statistics now say maybe up towards 500. But they, one of the people where their dad was killed in that accident said, let's have a Father's Day. That was in 1910, excuse me. I probably said 2010. 1910. It wasn't until 1972, it had been through Congress and was working on it many times, but they could never get it signed. Until 1972, President Richard Nixon signed and it designated the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. I wonder sometimes when you look at our world system about us and you look at children that are growing up, that they don't have a father to look to. For an example, I wonder why you celebrate Father's Day. So my mind was spinning down that trail. For the title of the message, I'm going to tell you, Yunza had rod and staff for your school in your reading. Probably know this story better than I do. I didn't go look it up. I'm just going to tell you it from memory. A boy was going hunting. He was walking on the ice. And he was walking along the lake shore, him and his dog and the trusty shotgun. He suddenly found himself plunging through the ice into the water. He was able to grab a hold of a limb and grab a hold and hang on. He soon found the cold getting to his senses. He needed help or he was going to go down. He calls his dog and tells his dog to go get some help. The dog hesitates, then seems to understand the master's wishes and runs across the ice, towards a train station a long ways away. The boy's left there hanging onto that limb. Cold is seeping into his body. The dog finally, as the story goes on, runs into the train station, and the people start yelling that there's a mad dog. Even one policeman or somebody came out and leveled a gun across, ready to take the dog's life. Until somebody that knew the dog said, "No, I know whose dog that is. It's not a mad dog." They follow the dog back and find a boy clinging to a branch. I thought of that story because of what I titled my message this morning: Fathers, Hang On. That story ends with the boy saying these words: "Heroism," I'm getting control of myself here, excuse me. "Heroism consists of hanging on 1 minute longer." And he hung on to help arrive. You want to turn to a passage to think about. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. We maybe are pulling this verse just a little bit out of context, but my message this morning is going to take a number of different passages, number of different tracks, and I'm not sure if we're going to take the time to turn to them, because I do want to be conscious of the time that I am allotted or should be speaking here this morning. But Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, "And if one prevail against him," let's go on back. Let's go back to verse 9. And let's read from verse 9 to verse 12. This way we can get a little context to what the writer of Ecclesiastes, which I believe was Solomon, I believe he was the one that wrote it. Let's get a little context here. "Two are better than one, because they have good reward of their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." I know you've probably seen examples already, illustrations, but for you children, I thought I'd do this. I went and found a piece of rope. If I cover these ends, it's a rope. It's three full cord in there, wound together. Studies say, and of course this in here is an older rope, so I wouldn't put it to the test, but your new ropes that they make, you can get ropes that are that same size around, which I believe is a 5/8 rope. You can get a rope that size that will hold, I believe it's 12,000 pounds at least. How do they get that? It's individual fibers woven together in such a way that it brings out exactly what this verse talks about. If you take one of those strands and pull on it, it's going to come apart. And so here we find in this verse the threes. And so I thought about this because I came to this verse because I started thinking about God's threes. Think about the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three woven together, they're God. And they're just, it's God and He's everything. That's God woven together. Three different distinct parts, three different, but it's God. When it's woven together in such a way, it's God. That's Trinity God. It's something I hope each and everyone here knows Him. He's there. He's someone you can put a knot in and you can hang on. He's there for you. Or maybe you like the illustration. He's the one holding on to the rope for you, giving you the rope. Holding on to the other end, and you can grab a hold of Him. Fathers, that's for us. We need to know that Trinity God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We just had an instruction class about marriage. And so I want to say on that Trinity God thing that's for everyone. If you find yourself here, then you're single. God, the Trinity God, the three in one, is there for you. As you face life, God is there for you. You can claim a hold of Him. You can grasp Him. He's there. But as we went through the ordinances and we talked about marriage, we said not everybody is married. How does that three in one come there? Well, you've been at enough weddings to hear this. There's a father, there's a mother, husband and wife, and there's God that you should have there with it. To make it three in one, it makes a strong marriage. You need it. Oh yes, you can make a rope with just two of these strands. It's a lot smaller. It's not going to hold near as much as when you add that third one in. You want a strong marriage? You must have God as part of that marriage. In the Garden of Eden, God told Adam, it's not, or told his angels, I guess it maybe was, but he said, it's not good that man should be alone. He needs a helpmeet. He needs somebody. It's God and man. And I still hold that out, that it's good if God leads you. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. In Genesis chapter 3, though, there's Adam, there's Eve, and there's God. Perfect fellowship. And here comes Satan. Eve, come on. God's holding something from you. He's depriving you of something. Satan knows the threefold cord. He does. Satan says, I want to take this one away. Because you come and you fellowship with God. I want to take that away. And I can get that by putting sin. By you not obeying God. And he did it. It was a twofold. It was just Adam and Eve. As God drove them from the Garden of Eden, he put a wall there of angel. Destroyed that connection, that close communion with God. But God in his all-knowing, he knew that we need to make a way to patch that. And of course, that's what we talked about in the first one. That Trinity God that we can reach out to as Jesus came and died for us. And so that relationship is patched, can be patched again, and we can have again a threefold cord in our marriages. So we said this one was God. That was out. Now it's back. Satan knows that that in there he can't take out anymore. He knows that. What does he do? He puts the other two under direct attack. Because if we can make one or the other disconnect, it's a twofold cord again. Fathers, mothers, life is going to have trials. Satan is no match for us without God's help. We must continue to build that relationship. As we draw closer to another, we draw closer to God. You saw that triangle. You know, you've heard about the triangle already. Let's do that in our marriages. Draw closer to God. Wind our rope just a little tighter to God. And then there's another one. Three. Father, mother, and to that union, God gives children. Now you are a father. So where God has chosen to place children is to fathers and mothers, and our world is so mixed up on it. The marriages of this world are built on lust, and they're built on everything but God. And they find themselves struggling. You find single-parent homes. You find parents that are not involved. You find parents that are missing in action. And the children suffer. Because it's not God's plan. They're not following God's plan. I talked to a man. As I ponder these three threes. I talked to a man that was at Hess Tire's open house. We were down there on Friday. Very negative. He didn't have a good thing to say about his wife. I actually challenged him on it. Said, it can't be that bad. It is. And he went off for a while. I finally decided it wasn't worth trying to reason with him on it. But I pondered that most. It happened fairly early in the morning. I pondered that for much of the day. And I'm there beside another man from the community. I'm working beside him. And I happen to know this man is married 51 years. Community man. I worked with him in the shop back when I was worked down there. And I pondered it. Finally, we reached a slow time. I said, Jim, how do you find married life? It's tough. He said, but it's rewarding when you can work it out. I said, so you're saying that you still find life has trials? He said, I sure do. He said, but you got to work it out. I believe the man does go to church some. I don't know that much about his life in that end. But I pondered that as I was preparing this message. And the fact is that why did they come out to different places? Because there's a battle going on. I'm here to tell you this morning the battle is easier to fight when you have God helping you to overcome Satan. Fathers, for you this morning, when time gets tough, grab a hold of the rope and hang on. God's on the other end. He wants to help you. Do what it takes to be part of that family. Do what it takes to Be there. I have 3 points and many other thoughts in between. What are some ropes that we need to hang on to, fathers? Let's get a different three. What's some 3 points for us fathers to think about? The one I've talked about already, and I want to highlight some more, is hang on to faith in God. Be faithful to God. God wants fathers to be faithful. You throw a rope to a man that's drowning. What happens? He's going to grab a hold of that. If he knows the other end is held by you on the bank somewhere, or somebody that's big enough to pull him in from drowning. God is that man. He wants to give you the help and the strength to overcome. We are sometimes that drowning man. Life can feel overwhelming sometimes. And if you find yourself where life is feeling fairly smooth, I'll just say it the way I've felt in my own life. You know, as the children were really little, sitting on laps, it's pretty easy to just say, yeah, life's good. It's busy. Life's good. We have this under control. But you know what? Time goes on. Times change. And maybe part of that is that in life you will find that you will get more responsibilities other places. Life can feel overwhelming. So what do we need to do? Already touched on it. Be faithful to God. Have faith in God. The best way to lead your house, Father, is to know God and to know Him personally and to have your devotions with Him and have a close relationship with Him. Very familiar verse. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. God's there. He wants us to. Bind yourself to Him. Come closer to Him. Fathers of faith, it doesn't mean letting go when the storms hit. It doesn't mean going out on your own. Fathers of faith mean grab a hold of your Father God and walk with Him through that storm. Peter, in the Bible, saw Jesus walking on the waters and said, come, called him, can I come out? Bid me come to you. Jesus said, come. Peter starts walking out, and what happens? He starts looking at the waves that are coming, and he starts saying, he gets fearful, and he starts sinking. Did God change? No. He's still the same faithful God. But it's where he turned to. When he started looking at the wind, he started going down. Where else should a father be faithful? Faithful to his wife. Very important. Fathers need to love their wives. Be faithful to them. Husbands, love your wives, Ephesians 5:25, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. We've heard the saying many times, the best gift a dad can give to his children is to love the children's mother. It's a knot that helps to keep the house from unraveling. Love your spouse unconditionally, as God loved the church. What else, fathers that need to be faithful? Faithful in leading your family to the Father God. Fathers, you are training your children. You are making, you are an example to your children that you will affect them for life. There's things I do that I know came from my father. And as a young man, there's probably, I could take you to times where I said, I'm not going to be like that. Why? It's because my father made an impression on me. It's what you go to. To change from that takes a lot of work, and we need to be working at that, at changing and for the better. But you find yourself in the middle of life resorting to what it was. Maybe sometimes you feel like you're a drowning man when it comes to raising your family. It's like throwing a lifeline to a drowning man, and you find yourself grabbing a hold. There's bills. There's making ends meet. There's rebellion, maybe. There's maybe sickness. Or maybe there's depression. You have that rope there that we must have, and that is a rope of prayer, a rope of searching the scripture. Joshua 24:15. Do you think it was always easy for Joshua to say this? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you think Joshua always walked through life and said, you know what, this is where we're going? And he never had any doubts about life and the experiences that came his way. I think he was normal like you and I. But when he looked at the big picture, he said, this is where we're going. We're living this life of faith to God, me and my family. Fathers, sometimes what you have to hold to, when times get tough, is the Trinity God. And hang on. I trust I've been blessed with a faithful spouse. And I trust you are too. But not everybody has been. If you have a faithful spouse, thank the Lord and hang on to them too. But we must have God. It's the most important. Brothers and sisters, you will find yourself, especially fathers, you will find yourself with a strand that's about ready to break if it's just you trying to go through life. This strand of life breaks for fathers when fathers let go of God and soon then find themselves letting go of their wife. And soon they find themselves untying the knot and letting go. You must tie the knot and hang on. Second point. What do we need to hang on to? Hang on to God and teach and train our families God's way and ways and truths. God wants fathers to teach and train. Yes, by the words we say and the things we do. We talked a little bit about that, how that is. Deuteronomy 6:7, I want to highlight this. Thou shalt teach them diligently, this commands that was given from Moses. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Oh yes, we must be teaching our children. Don't hand them a tablet. A digital tablet and expect what they find on there to teach them. It's not going to happen. It will teach them. Oh yes, it will. But to teach them right things is going to take more than that. It'll mean sacrifice on your part as a father. It'll mean being diligent when it, and that means when we're not feeling like it really at that point in time. It means consistency. And yes, by discipline. I thought about it as a rope when we thought about discipline. You know, in John chapter 2, verse 7, 13 and through 17, Jesus is going in to cleanse the temple. He took some strands, he wove them together, and he used it as a whip. I'm not saying fathers, the Bible talks about for us fathers as a rod, but we must use it. We must. Our children need to know that disobedience brings consequences. It did to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and it still does today. Teach your children that at a young age. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The use of the rod of discipline should not provoke your children to wrath if you're using it consistently. But if you're going to use it sometime out of anger, it'll bring that about. Need consistent discipline. Do it out of love. And of course, teach and train our families. More is caught than taught. And it's still today. And I'm guessing preachers said that a long time ago, but it's still true. The third one. What do fathers need to hang on? Hang on to God and lead your family out of love. Show them God's love that He has for you. You see, we are supposed to be mirroring to our family the love God has for me. He loved me. He wanted what's best for me. God did not leave us here and say, there you are, husband, wife, you figure it out. God, knowing all things, at the creation, when He created Adam first, and from the side of Adam, He took a rib and made Eve. God knew what He was doing then. He was establishing back then a headship order. That you can't get away from. Yesterday, I was at a place of business. And a young person walked through. Everything about them said, you're not following God's headship order. You're not following, and let's go past the headship order. You're not even following God, what God expected you to be. You see, when Satan blinds the eyes, where's the end? He was a boy. I'm pretty convinced of that. But his dress didn't say that. And what an appalling thing. But when you let Satan take a foothold, wasn't really in my notes here, but I'm going to just tell, when you go away from God's plan, where are you going to stop at? But we have this headship order. God made them male and female. Nothing to hide from. It's the best way. It's God's plan. And His plan is that men, fathers, that you lead out and mirror God and His love for your family. relationships and marriage. Remember how I highlighted it's so important we keep God in there? But you see, we need to work on that relationship with God all the time. It needs to be there. It's so important in life. I'm just highlighting that again. But what I find is Satan likes to take this time that I should be spending with God. And he likes to start putting things in my life that starts pulling the other way. And I'm over here and Satan's there, trying to pull God away. Or you find husband and wife, two different paths, not taking the time to try to blend together. Maybe it's an unsubmissive wife. Maybe it's a selfish and controlling husband. There's many things. What I want to bring out most of all through this point is, again, highlight the fact that Satan wants to destroy every relationship in that rope. He wants you to pull you in total opposite directions. That's his goal. He wants to destroy a beautiful marriage. He's going to do that however he can. It can be a father making you want to be more selfish, making you not want to really realize who you are and start living for self. We don't give up self as we ought to. We forget to serve others. And we forget to look how we can do best for them. What's the long-term goal? And we maybe start thinking, how does this work in my agenda? Father's pulling the wrong way. Maybe it's just passiveness. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. The serpent came to Eve and tempted her. And there was Adam. I don't know if he was standing beside her or not, but somewhere in the process, Adam knew that fruit that he was eating was of the tree that they were told not to eat of it. He was a passive man. What's it matter? His wife did it. I don't know the reasoning. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. The Bible tells us that Adam was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. Passive fathers are not good leaders. Take control, fathers. Be part of it. Lead your family out of love. Thought about preaching a message on the prodigal son out of that passage there. And think about the father there. As he's so much a type, that father was so much a type of our Father God. Son said, give me my inheritance. What's a father to do at that point in time? The father gave it to his son. And he went out and squandered it. But he kept looking down the road because he loved his youngest son. And he saw him coming afar off. And he ran to him and embraced him. It's our Father God. He comes running to us, and when we turn to him. Well, what happened in that account is the older son was at home and he was lost. Every child's different, fathers. every child needs different relation with. Work in love with your family. Be the man. Don't start pulling in a tug of war. Find a way. So if you are a father, I want to say here, I made that comment. This all needs to be balanced in the fact of what God demands of you, okay? It must be based on truth. You can't find yourself going with sin is where I want to go with that. There's some things that God says you can't do and you can't compromise. Continue to pull against that. But work on the relationship. What about a mother that pulls away? How can they do that? By not giving in to headship order. By undermining the authority of dad. Children can get confused about authority by the way you relate to it. Well, he's not relating right. He should do it this way. He can do it, but he should. This is a better way. I'm going to pull this verse into here. And I know this is a Father's Day message. I'm preaching to all. 1 Peter 3:1, likewise ye wives be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. It doesn't have a clause in there that says, likewise ye wives be in subjection to your own husbands if it makes sense. Even with an unbelieving husband, a wife that takes her and God the Trinity, and binds their relationship to God the Trinity closer, that her husband may become part of the team and may be part of that threefold cord, that he may be won by the conversation of the wife, the walk of the wife. Living lives close to God has a potential to win your husband or husband your wife to God. The Amish that are around in this neighborhood have horses and buggies. I've never seen them hook a horse to either side of the cart and pulling in opposite directions. What's going to happen? The cart's going to take the brunt of that. It might be ripped in shreds till they're done. Husbands and wives, you can't expect any different for your children. When husband and wife are pulling in two opposite directions, you're going to struggle to keep from pulling your children apart. I will say this, it's possible to keep children and to raise children that are faithful when you have an unfaithful partner. I've seen it in the generation, the heritage that I have. It's possible for a mother to say, I'm going to keep the family together and we're going to serve Christ. Life seems to be a rope, you're pulling apart. Let's move on. Keep the rope of God part of your life. Stay true to Christ. He will be with you and give your strength. Now, one of the things I think about as a father, I look at my life. I look at yesterday. I look at the day before. And I know a threefold cord is not quickly broken. But I see failures in my life. I see times when I should have done better. I've seen times in my life where I tried to be that one strand. Instead of using all the resources God gave, a husband, me as a husband, my wife, and God to lean on for wisdom. I've tried to make the decision on my own and the strand snapped. And I snapped. 2 strands, you and your wife together, still good, better, but it's still not the best. The best is you, your wife, and God lining your lives up with Christ. And it's not quickly broken. Dad, here's your charge. Fathers, grip the rope. Be faithful. Use the rope to teach and train and discipline. And the third one is to lead in love. Pull on the rope. Lead in love. Tell them the direction that we need to go. Tell them where to go. It can feel overwhelming today. Pressures of life will get high. Maybe you find a marriage that's stressed. Maybe a marriage that's starting to feel like a phrase. Cling to God. Maybe it's children. Lean on God for strength. Psalm 61, verse 2, David writes there, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's God. Lead me to God. Jesus is a rock. He's the one holding the other end of your rope. But I find myself in Romans 7, verse 15. We just studied this in Sunday school. Paul writing, he said, that thing which I do not allow, that's what I do. I wish it wouldn't be that way, but that's the way I relate to life. I need to work on it as a father. Fathers, we can feel that gap from the dad you want to be to the dad you actually were in the pressures of life yesterday. You find yourself between that. May you say, like Joshua, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yesterday's a day in the past. Today we live in the present. And if God's faithful in the future, tomorrow's the future. Don't give up because of the past. Fathers, hang on. Grasp a hold. Step forward to the plate. God honors the striving. We're not perfect. The Bible doesn't even have some of the most prominent men that we think about in the Bible weren't perfect men. David, he had failures in life. David, 1 Kings 1:6, says this about Adonijah, that his father, David, had never at any time displeased him. Don't go down that path, fathers. It's a terrible path. I preached a message about Abraham. He's a father of faith. Birthed Ishmael, trying to help God. Had a regret with that. Peter, preach that Pentecostal sermon. Was he a perfect man? And he denied God. He denied Jesus 3 times. I ask you, fathers, when you think about the rope of your marriage, is it starting to look like that? Has it gone from one rope to 3 strands pulling against each other to something that to me is impossible to reweave together? God can do it. Are you willing to let God help you to weave the strands back together? If you find yourself struggling through life, struggling to be who you should be as a father, let God help you to weave it together. He can. And you have a whole brotherhood that's willing to help if you need to reach out and help, get help. Let's kneel for prayer.